Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Is it not beautiful out? It's going to get warmer, but hey, it's summer, right? Or almost anyway. Hey, let's start today with page 32, and let's stand. Page 32.
Sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full and His command and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with His word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how Thy wonders are displayed.
Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the beautiful day, Lord. Thank You for our church. Thank You, our church doors are open. Thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to be here today, anticipating a little worship of You, Lord, going into Your Word, doing a little just learning and listening and applying to lives, Lord. Thank You for our nation, Lord. We pray for the many problems it has, Lord. We think of the folks down south, Lord. I just ask You to guide and direct there. Be with them as they grieve. Help our nation, Lord, to get something figured out over this stuff, Lord. But, Lord, today we're going to be looking into Your Word with our pastor. Guide and direct him, Lord. Use him today, Lord, as we go through our little bit of different service today. Help us, Lord, as we just try to honor You, Lord, in all that we do today. Thank You for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. 421, please. 421.
Sing over again to me wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and beauty, beautiful. Wonderful words, wonderful words.
announcements here. Here we go. Don't forget, tonight at 6 o'clock, we have our evening service schedule. We're going to go on with our book studies that we have for the men and women. We salute our veterans, our service personnel, now serving. Thank you for our freedom. Personal Evangelism, May 31st at 6 o'clock. Memorial Service Monday at Fruitland Cemetery at 9 in the morning. And then VBS, June 3rd. That's this Friday, right? Okay. Let's see. It's Spring Valley Bible Camp. That's off 180th Street, off 38 up that way. Iron Sharpens Iron, June 4th at 9 in the morning. Wilton Bible Study, June 9th and the 23rd. And then Women's Bible Study is going to meet on the 7th and 21st. Personal Evangelism is going to be June 14th and the 28th. And then Quarterly Business Meeting is June 12th. If you have any items to discuss, please get the info to Pastor or to Deb. Thought for the Week, our precious freedom was won by precious blood. Guys, if you'll come forward now, we'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for our nation, for those, Lord, that gave the ultimate sacrifice. And even those today, Lord, that are alive, that have served and are still serving. Lord, I just thank you for them all. And not just our military, Lord, but our fire departments, our police departments, Lord, all that do a part, Lord, in just keeping the good here in America. Thank you for this time now, Lord. We're going to try to give a small portion back to you, Lord, because we could never outgive you, Lord. Please be with the gift and givers who do so, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, Jason's going to sing and play for us now.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Well, today I'm filling in for a special, and a special song I had today is not really a Memorial Day song per se, but you know, while we are remembering those that have given their lives for our country and, you know, for the people that have freedom these days here in our country, but let's not forget that the Prince of Peace gave his life so that we could have eternal freedom and peace with the Father. And the name of this song is Good, Good Father. It's a requested song, and it's about who Father God is to us and our identity in him.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Well, I've seen so many searching for answers far and wide, but I know that we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. And perfect the Lamb that was slain for us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect the Lamb that was slain for us. Well, it's a love so undeniable I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable I can hardly think, as you draw me deeper still, as you draw me deeper still, as you draw me deeper still in the love, love, love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect the Lamb that was slain for us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect the Lamb that was slain for us. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
God. Thank you, Jason. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our morning worship services here at Fruitland Baptist. We're thankful and glad for all that have come out this morning. I trust you're welcome today and excited about what God may have in store for your life this day and what He may bring to you through the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word. As you notice on my thought for the week, Memorial Day really is grounded in the precious blood, meaning the blood of Christ. He, the innocent one, came and shed his blood for his sheep that he loves so dearly. And that's us. And that's you today if you're under the blood. If you've received Christ, placed your faith and trust in him to forgive you of your sins, he has given us freedom today by his precious blood. Freedom from sin, death, and the devil. And yes, our sin, while it is always going to be with us through life to an extent, can be overcome in Christ. He will help us to be freed from the shackles of sin. As I mentioned earlier, Memorial Day is very important. And I want to take just a minute today, and it really is grounded after World War I, in remembering those who fell in the line of duty in defense of our constitutional freedoms. That's really what it is, and it's an important thing. So at this time, if there would be anyone here that had a family member or an acquaintance, a close acquaintance that fell, this is a time we'll recognize that, and then we're going to sing the first stanza of the national anthem following that, whether we have anyone here or not today. Is there anyone that could be recognized that fell in service to our country? Kim, you had several uncles, yeah? Yes, Barb. Thank you, Barb. Yes. Thank you so much. Kathy. Thank you. Yes, Carol. Thank you. Are there others? Well, as we consider what they've done, they died again defending our Constitution. And realize this, folks, here in America, our Constitution is a wonderful document. It was created under the authority of the Word of God. It was created for sinful people that have been blood-bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. It has rock-solid things in it, but it also has forgiveness and a component to it where there is grace. I'll tell you what, folks, it's in danger today. But let's stand today and sing the first verse of the national anthem a cappella, and we'll proceed with our service. And I'm going to pray following this again as we remember those that have fallen in the line of duty. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we assemble today humbly before you as the church, recognizing that you are the bedrock, the foundation, the cornerstone of the church. And we thank you today that you bought us with your precious blood. And Lord, you've established a nation known as the United States of America for your purposes. And today, Lord, we come before you and we ask your forgiveness. We know that our nation has declined. It has turned its back on you, O Lord. But we ask again, Lord, that your grace might prevail, that there would be a revival in the United States of America. We know, Lord, when we turn away from you, we face ultimate destruction. I pray you'll embolden the Christians to speak up and to tell the truth about history and the truth about what our nation was founded on. Lord, it is not perfect and it has its troubles, but there is room there for repentance and we can turn to you, Lord. I pray that that will take effect. Now, Lord, I thank you for the men and women who have served in the line of duty to bring us those freedoms guaranteed in our Constitution. And so, Lord, we never acknowledge men above you, but we do acknowledge today that in your stead, people have died and given their lives for freedom. And so, Lord, we thank you for all those lives. I do also pray today for active service people that stand in harm's way yet this day. And, Lord, that you'll help us in our plight. Now, we want to rejoice and give thanks that you control all things. You bring nations to be and you allow nations to die, but yet you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we know this, Lord, that under your precious blood we are safe in the arms through the great shepherd who gave his life, Jesus Christ. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church. Today is our children's message we have every other week, and I just want to tell those that are listening on our website over the internet that this will be a little different today. You may not be able to hear all the things that take place, but we'll do our best with a handheld mic. But today we're going to have a little activity, and after a little bit, after I get started here, we'll let the young folks come up. If you want to see better what's going on up here, come on up closer. That certainly is fine. But I trust today that you are honoring and rejoicing in the goodness of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Jason, for that song that reminded us of that even more this morning. But friends in Christ, this morning's message will focus on five things. So if you can just remember these briefly. Number one, to bring glory to God from our hearts and actions. Genuine glory to God. To focus on seed planting of his good news to mankind in the gospel. In case you wonder what's up here, we're going to plant some seeds today. Okay? To involve us, his children, by engaging our minds and actions in this process of sharing, and to use the planted seeds as a memorial that Christ died and shed his blood for our sins, and to place one of the plants in honor of a veteran that gave their life to defend our God-given constitutional rights to be able to freely share that message. So those are five things. All of them can be accomplished. Some will need some help from parents or adults. The thing is to remember, when we think about planting seeds today, these are flower seeds, because what was originally known as Decoration Day was that the graves were decorated with flowers of those that gave their lives. That was following World War I. It has morphed into much more today. Probably in some ways it has lost the essence of why it was created. But the real reason was to honor those that fell in the line of service to our nation. So, the question we ask to begin with before everyone comes up is, what are the gospel seeds? What are the gospel seeds? Well, the first part of that component is that God loves all people. John 3:16, let's quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten or unique Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The second thing we need to remember today is that people need God's help. I need his help. We're in desperate trouble as humans, just by our very existence. We need God's help because we are destined to destruction. Romans 3:10 says this, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23a, and you can look at all the scriptures, they'll tell you the same message of the gospel, but these are the seeds of the gospel. Romans 6:23a says, for the wages of sin is death. And we'll look at part B of that in just a moment. We're in bad shape, folks, as humans, apart from Jesus Christ. We mentioned the other night, we sat through a bit of a tornado warning here during prayer meeting and Bible study. I want to let us know today, there's been a hell warning issued in God's Word. And that's where we're destined today, apart from Jesus Christ. Will you take action? Will you run? Will you seek shelter? Seek safety? I'll tell you where you can go for safety, into Jesus' arms. He loves you. He's ready. He's willing today to bring you right into his family and to become a child of God through his blood that he shed. That's gone now on the screen, but you understand that. And then the third component of four this morning that is the gospel message and is part of the seeds that we are to plant is that God gives us redemption through Jesus. In other words, he buys us back from the market of sin and turns us into his own very blood-bought child. The second part of Romans 6:23 or part B is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life versus eternal death. It's the whole difference between 180 degrees, night and day. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's very serious. Our eternal destiny. Man was created with a living soul to live either eternally with Jesus or to live eternally in punishment in a place called hell. Eventually the lake of fire. And the fourth component here is God told us to plant and sow the gospel seeds. He didn't just make it as a suggestion, but if you're a born-again believer here today, you ought to be, and I ought to be, involved in planting seeds. We're not here just to watch the flowers bloom and see all the good stuff, but we're supposed to get our hands dirty. By the way, I rarely ever wear gloves unless it's cold. Before I was in the ministry, my hands had ingrained dirt in them. But you know what? I still like to get my hands into the dirt. I still like working. You know, the pastoral ministry is still like farming. Very similar. You deal with all kinds of things. And it's a joy. Even though sometimes you can get discouraged a little bit. But you know what? God rarely lets that go on for more than an hour or two. And then the phone rings or something happens and he says, "Get to going, John. What's the matter with you? There's work to be done." So anyway, I want to just illustrate that, though, where he says we're to plant the gospel. Matthew 28:19. This is the Great Commission here in Acts 1:8. He says, "Get up and go." It doesn't say get up, but it implies it. "Go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Teach is the critical thing there. Plant seeds. The whole Bible revolves around that core gospel message that I just shared with you, those seeds of the gospel. It's there to do. Acts 1:8. Some of you are quicker than I am turning. And Jesus gave this directive before he headed back to heaven. And once again, he says, "You're going to receive power." Acts 1:8. "But you shall receive power." That's the word there, dunamis. Dynamic power, like dynamite. "After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you might choose to be my witnesses." That's not what he told the original disciples. He says, "You shall." And I'm telling you, he's telling us today that that commandment's never been taken back. Think about it. "You shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." In other words, every one of us in here is under the command of Jesus to reach people locally, nationally. You can do it however you want. It's like throwing a rock in a pond. There's ripples. We're supposed to have an impact to the uttermost parts of the earth in our seed sowing. Of course, we can't be in Africa today. Yes, we can't be in Europe today physically, but we can send our representatives, can't we? We can go ourselves. And I encourage people to be involved in God's mission field. It's a field where you work the dirt. Now, young folks, you come on up here, and I'm going to need an assistant to move this table. I want to warn you also that if you walk around here before we fold this plastic up, it is slippery. Sandra, thank you. Thank you. Jaden? Thank you very much. Now, Miss Kim or Sandra or someone that would be here to assist me. If anyone needs to speak today, you need to speak through that or they can't hear you on the broadcast. What we have here before us today are several things. And Miss Kim, did you have some paper towels here next to you? Because I know some of you don't like to get your hands too dirty. But what we're going to do this morning is we're going to plant some flower seeds. Okay, so what we have in front of Jaden is dirt. And each of you can choose a little pot. Also, there's several types of flower seeds there that you may want to use. So we're going to do that real quickly, and then I'm going to finish our message with the reasons behind this and what may happen to these seeds that we've planted. So, Miss Kim, can you describe what we're doing here for the folks that may be listening in? We need to place our hands. This is perfectly clean dirt. I'll even start.
You can use this cup if you want to dip it out and not use your
hands. By the way, you do not call dirt dirt. You call it soil because it has many good properties. Okay. Emma, why don't you open up the seeds? Yep. Very good. Now you recall what we're going to do with these. You need to plant these today, thinking about the Lord Jesus and the new life He'll give as this new plant grows. But what I'd like you to consider also is a person that died in the line of service. Maybe you need to talk to some of the people this morning that had relatives. Or you may go down to the cemetery. We have a good service tomorrow, or a cemetery of your choice. You could set this by someone's stone. Okay? Now, how do we plant seeds? Can you tell me? We've already determined we need soil. Here, young ladies. Here's the soil. Go ahead, Ellie. Tell us again. Have you done some of this at home?
Mm-hmm.
Have you? Well, let's hear about it. Go ahead and tell us.
You put the seeds in the dirt, and then you water them, and they grow.
Okay. What else is involved? We can do several of these things. We can place the soil into the cups. But who created the soil?
God.
Everything is God's. Who made the seeds? God. Now, we can artificially water some of our plants, but ultimately, water came from who? From God. God has to do all the work to make this productive. We can plant the seeds, and that's the same way it is when we display the gospel message. Does anyone need a hand here today? Did you find some worms in there, or what did you find? No, that's actually called vermiculite. It's just a substance that helps bond things and hold water. No, there's no worms in it, Ellie. Even if there is, they're healthy worms. Okay?
We were at camp yesterday working on our volcano, the thylakoids and anaconda snakes.
Now, what you want to do is poke your seeds down about 3/4 inch, Isaac, just like that, and then cover them gently with the dirt. And then Miss Kim will help all of you so we don't... You know, I could be fired for this if I spill on the carpet. That's why we got the plastic down here. But on the other side, the cleaning staff can look at it this way. They have job security. Okay, Miss Kim, would you help them with the water, please? Okay. All right. So let me ask, who chose what? What do we have here for seeds? Remember, we learned about the gospel seeds. Those are what? Flower garden mix. Okay. Did you get some, Jaden? Okay. Very good. All right. Now, what I would also ask is that we leave all of our planters up here this morning till after the service. And then parents or anyone responsible, you may want to come and assist your children from that point on. Okay. And I might just reinforce, no running in the church with plants. No running anytime, but not today in particular. Now, does anyone have any questions or any observations about this? So let's think about this. We're going to go into our text here after we all sit down. But you know what? What if we had soil here today that was full of rocks?
It wouldn't work.
What would happen, Emma?
It just wouldn't work. There'd be too many rocks.
There'd be too many rocks. That's right.
It just wouldn't work.
Okay. And what are some reasons? Because when you put water in rocks, it doesn't...
The rocks just get wet.
That's right. Okay, what if we had these containers that were full of weeds that were about this tall, and then we planted the seeds in there? What would happen?
The weeds would kill
them.
Okay, and why would that be, Emma?
Because the weeds would suck out the nutrients.
Okay, and they might choke out the light, too, as well, right? That's good. What about if we had these out and we didn't plant the seeds in this good, rich soil, and the seeds were toward the top? Maybe some of you have noticed this, that when I'm out in the field working, I notice the birds. The birds eat a lot of things that we find. They eat seeds even. And the birds might pluck it away, right? So there's a lot of reasons why we need to prepare good soil. Now, what we have here today is potting soil that Miss Kim purchased. And so it is supposed to be nearly as good as you could get to plant seeds in. Now, congregation, do you have any questions? Or we're going to look into this. I know you can't see this very well. Anything here that you'd like to know? How many of you do some seed planting? Okay. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but you can internally. How many of you also plant the seeds of the gospel? Amen. I'm glad for that. I want you to think about that. Now, there's also a little marker that you may take along. Go easy on the water. Yep, that'll be good. Perfect. Okay, so we get the idea. We need to be what? Planting seeds. If anyone needs practice on that, come on up and we'll show you how to do it this way. But also, you know, when we do personal evangelism, come on a Tuesday night when we do that. We can all go out together and plant seeds. Seeds of the gospel. But it's for us to do at all times. Okay, Miss Kim, are we in good shape here? For the rest of us, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. And thank you, everyone. Did you get everything you needed? Miss Kim, did you have anything else to say about this? Okay. Yes. I'm sorry? I don't see any green thumbs, but I see thumbs, yes. Now, think about this as a whole for all of us as God's children. If you're bought by the blood of Christ, you're his child. If not, today's the day to come under the blood and be saved. But here's what Paul told the church at Corinth, and this is what we need to remember before we look into this just a little more specifically. The church at Corinth had a hard time getting along. They all wanted to be the most important people in the church, so they were all factioned off. They weren't working together. Folks, that's the key thing when we plant seeds for the Lord. We need to be working together. It takes different people doing different things. Pardon me while I kick this over because I'd be the first one to fall. We have trouble working together, but all of us have different roles to fulfill in the body of Christ when it comes to seed planting. And Paul lays this out. He says in verse 5 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" Paul says there are no big shots in the Lord's program except Jesus. We all have a responsibility. And he goes on, he says, "I planted, but Apollos watered." Another person there at the church in Corinth. He says, "But God gave the increase." All the efforts that we did at this table this morning will not produce one thing unless God allows that to grow. You know, the genetics in those seeds came from Almighty God. The reason they grow is because God placed new life in a dead seed. All this pictures Jesus. Jesus died and rose again. A flower, a plant, pictures the resurrection. Okay? There's big stuff here. Paul says, it's God that gave the increase. "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gave the that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one." In other words, everything that was done here this morning was important. We could have broken this down into an assembly line like the church, where one person planted all the seeds, one person placed the soil, one person placed the water and did other jobs here, you know. And Paul illustrates that, but he says we all did it for one common reason, and that's that the seeds would grow and that the gospel seeds would be spread. "And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." The bottom line, folks, we will be judged for our seed planting. Even as believers. Thank you. We will be. This is something we need to work on together. If you feel weak in your seed planting, come and let's help one another. If I'm weak in an area of my seed planting, come and help me. But we need to get it right for God. Okay, enough said. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's go back to the second part of our text. In other words, it's a unique opportunity to work together. Matthew 13 is where we want to end here. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 8 to begin with. Does anyone know what this section of Scripture talks about? It's called the parable of the soil. And what we found here this morning, this is almost ideal potting soil. If you could look at how this soil is put together for selling, they grade it, they screen it, they put some fertilizer in it, they put vermiculite in it. It's almost as healthy of a place or an environment that you could put seed as can be done humanly by mankind. Other than, again, what God has to do through the sunshine. I mean, we can simulate that through a plant light, But you still can't simulate what God does in turning that dead seed into a new plant. It's His work. But the fact of the matter is, where we sow our seeds of the gospel needs some preparation. You know, don't you? You can realize the difference between sand, stone, thorns and thistles, weeds, and good soil. And we need to be involved as we plant seeds in preparing the soil. And that's what we're doing here this morning. We're preparing hearts. To think, you're thinking about these things, hopefully, here today, not just saying, I hope he gets done, it's time to eat. But is your heart prepared for the seeds of the gospel? Are you preparing those that you encounter again? In other words, if you fall into it and you find soil that's rocky, then we need to do what? We need to help that soil rich. That's right. And get it productive so that there will be growth. Okay? So that's important. All right, let's hear what Jesus had to say. And he spake many things. This is Matthew 13, 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Interestingly enough, what we did this morning was not broadcast seeding, even though that's very legitimate in some types of seeding and very legitimate with the gospel seeds. But what we found to did today is we did particular seeding, where we chose a specific area, this pot, and we used specific amounts of seeds and did them in number. I don't, how many of you chose, what did you do, 3-4 seeds? I don't know what everyone did. But about 3 seeds would be sufficient in these pots. But in other words, we chose, again, a specific way to do it in a specific order, and that is all fine. It's all involved. There can be broadcast or the narrower proximity of placing just a few seeds, but it all works. Now, verse 4, Jesus says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now, you recall that I told our students here this morning, you need to put a little bit of cover over these seeds. But sometimes when you broadcast seed, the seed does not all get covered. And I won't go into all the agricultural details, but you need, when you plant, you need to have a good depth of planting. If you broadcast seeds, you need to use a harrow or some kind of a disc or something to incorporate it. It's the same thing. If you see seeds that are being sown on soil that's not productive, we need to help to make that soil more productive. And I've said that before. But what Jesus says here is that the fowls come and get it. When the gospel's planted, someone snatches it away. You know, oftentimes in the Bible, fowls, birds, ravens, crows, line up with who? Satan, the devil and his work. You may sow seeds, and the devil is right there to grab those seeds up before they can become productive in the hearts of people. The soil is the hearts of people. And there's a lot of people out there today, their hearts are not prepared for the gospel. Anyway, some fell on the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. What this is, folks, by our fruit we're going to be known if we've really been saved. Now, no one really knows other than yourself and God for sure today. But you know what? We can know by fruit. If there's no fruit in people's lives. And what happened? They may have heard the gospel and they thought, "That I like that," but they really didn't understand it fully. That's why the gospel must be planted accurately, just like when we plant real seeds. And they may thought that they had an understanding of it, but you know what? When things got tough, when the water dried up, by the way, water in the scriptures is identified with the word. If you plant seeds but there's no follow-up with the word, it's not going to grow. The water, the word. And that's what happens. There's a lot of people maybe thought that they had made a profession, but they really never did because they never flourished into a plant. Okay? And that's one of the possibilities as well. When we cast seeds or plant seeds, what can happen? Because it says in verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. God's water in good soil gives us a deep root, which allows us to what? To exist through the storms of life. The Bible talks about that very much as well in the book of Psalms. And then, of course, verse 7, it says, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And so there again, we find that difficulties that come about because of the lack of preparation of the soil, which is our hearts, can deter the ability for things to grow. What that really means is the cares of the world came along, and the gospel seeds and their growth became not important to people, and they let it go. And they may have had a false profession of faith, if that was the case, or not a profession, because nothing happened. So we need to be careful about that in our lives, but also when we're witnessing to people, to help them clear the thorns and the thistles away so the seed can penetrate good soil. By the way, we do that gently. You know, we can't come in with a hammer and work with the soil. Soil has, there's a component to soil called tilth. Down here on the island, I'm working on the little piece of ground over here to increase the tilth in that by raising different crops that have residue to make it better able to sustain water and to retain water and to be a more nutrient-rich area to grow seeds. We need to be doing that with people, but I can't do it in 1 year. You know I get in a lot of trouble down here. I really want to bring down manure. But I don't know if that's in the city code. But we need to think about these kind of things. You know, Jesus laid this out, these principles. We're not thinking, folks. We're not thinking about other people. See, we focus too much on ourselves, not enough on the Lord and the needs and the critical needs of others, but also our own needs, you know, from the spiritual aspect of that. But then I'm thankful that verse 8 exists here too. And we'll see Jesus' explanation here in just a minute. He says, but other fell into good ground. That's like what we have here today. See, there's no reason at all, unless something happens, that these plants should not, in about 3 weeks, be up and flourishing wherever you choose to place them. And that's the same way. If we plant in the good soil, the seeds of the gospel will not only take root, but they will flourish. And notice here, they brought forth fruit. Fruit is the evidence of our salvation. He doesn't say all of us are going to be super fruit producers, but he says what? We all need to be producers. This should be what comes of this. He says, other fell into the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. I ask us today, how's your fruit production? And then Jesus sums it up in verse 9. He says, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Here are the teachings of Jesus. Now, over to 18 through 23. And we're headed out today, Lord willing. But let me just say this. If there's reasons to stick around and get something right, we better do it. That's why we've got the time right now. We may not have that time, again, given to us. But today's the day to get it right. Now, Jesus gives the explanation for these, 18 through 23. Excuse me, I got to turn back one page here. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the way. Satan comes and snatches us, just like the birds, like we talked about that. But verse 20, but he that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and quickly, or anon, with joy receives it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended, it says in the King James, which means he stumbles. He stumbles over the gospel seeds. Hopefully we're thinking about these in our lives, where we're at. And then verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. I believe that could be a person that's saved in that category. And yet what happens? When all the other things, the pride of life, lusts of the flesh, just as the scriptures describe it, when they take priority over the Savior, that's what happens. Our fruit production ceases. And then lastly, Jesus writes, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. If you have no evidence in your life today of fruit production for Jesus, it's time to go back to the gospel seeds and be sure that they've been planted. But if they haven't, get them watered under the teaching of the Word of God. Get reinvigorated by the Holy Spirit. Get reactive in planting the seeds to others. Get your life turned around. It's called repentance. It's called revival. Amen. And folks, what I see in the Christian community today, by and large, are plants that are dead. Jesus is alive. As you think about these plants, young folks, think about Jesus. Think about those people that gave their lives for the freedoms we have to meet today. But think about your activities for planting the gospel seeds. And you can check back through the summer wherever you place these. You may place them at home as a reminder. But it's an opportunity again to go to a burial site of a fallen person that fell in military service and to see that and be reminded of that every time we see those plants once again. So here's the conclusion today. So may I ask us all today how we line up with Jesus' parable? No, you don't have to tell me. I mean, you can talk with me. I'm going to tell you I have troubles with it sometimes. Is anyone else or is it just me? If it's just me, someone else needs to be up here preaching. Because you've got it all figured out. And yet we have had the day, and this is how I like to look at things. You know, this day was appointed for a reason by God. And it was another time to hear this parable, publicly preached in the gathering of the saints. Another time. And I believe this with all my heart, even to save people at the judgment seat of Christ, when we're evaluated, he's going to say, didn't you hear something about this? I was going to say September, May 29th, 2022, the year of our Lord, 2022. Every time you write a check or put a date, the year of our Lord's on there. Everything points to Jesus. Everything. Amen. We've had another attempt and instructions on planting of the seed of the gospel. Is it or will it flourish to produce abundant fruit for Jesus, or dead fuel for the fire of hell with which it shall burn? Pretty good things to think about there. Jesus is Lord of the harvest and the Savior of men. And the Bible says you have to plant or sow to reap. Jesus has us working in his harvest fields, not only harvesting, but you have to plant to reap. He wants us to plant the seeds of the gospel. He's the Savior of men. So I close with this. What is your response to him about the offer he's given us and the perspective he shared with us today in his word? Amen. Let's take our hymnals today and stand. And we're going to go to 667, a song about harvest. And that's my desire today, and I believe it's the Lord's, that we see a harvest of souls. Did I say 667? I did. It's bringing in the sheaves. Now, you know, this is the stereotypical hymn that you always heard sung in the churches in the old westerns, right? And we think, what's that all about? We sing that. Well, it's harvest time today, folks. It's planting time, but it's harvest time. And Jesus wants to see your soul harvested for him today if you're apart from him. If you're not, though, won't that be an exciting day for the believer when our souls are in his presence? But until then, it's time to plant, no matter what time of the year it is. Interestingly enough, we're in the end of May. It's time that if you're going to get something planted this year, you ought to be getting it done, right? The seasons. By the way, God has seasons. You better think about the season that he's in today. I know this, time is shorter today than it was yesterday. This is important stuff. Will you respond to him today? Let's sing it. Stanza one, and I'm going to ask Denny Wheeler to dismiss us in prayer. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Thank you for your good attention this morning. May the Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. Again, may you be thinking of the Lord Jesus this weekend as well as we celebrate a holiday, a holy day. It all points to Jesus Christ and his precious blood that was shed for us. Denny, thank you.